Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. Dr. Ketan Galla is a cardiologist and is board certified in cardiovascular disease, nuclear cardiology, adult echocardiography, cardiovascular, computed tomography, and clinical lipidology. So that's a quintuple threat right there. Five board certifications. Dr. Galla earned his medical degree at Rutgers University in Newark, New Jersey. He went on to complete his residency in internal medicine at Yale New Haven Hospital in Connecticut. After residency, he completed his fellowship in cardiovascular disease at Drexel University College of Medicine, Hahnemann University Hospital in Philadelphia. Dr. Galla's special interests include heart disease and preventative cardiology. Dr. Galla has contributed in numerous research projects within the cardiology field and has authored articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. And we have a very important topic because we've talked about this a lot on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents and on our program in general, and that is that since mid-March, so many Americans have delayed screenings and seeing their physician. And it, you can only imagine, Dr. Galla will be able to speak to it expertly in just a moment, but you can only imagine 6 months, delaying something 6 months. You might think, that's no big deal. Well, that's not necessarily the case. We have a very important topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Galla, and the topic is don't delay medical care. Dr. Galla, what an important topic you bring with you this morning. And I'd like you, before we get into our content and the great questions that you're going to be responding to this morning, do you agree with the statement that obviously the pandemic, for a while, you couldn't do certain things? Hospitals and such were just dealing with coronavirus, COVID-19. And so people that needed breast cancer screenings or getting their blood work done or colonoscopies or whatever, prostate, PSA, blood work, all this, so much has been delayed for nearly half a year now. Is that a fair comment?
Well, first off, let me say good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
And I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. You know, when the shelters in place took effect, whatever it was, mid-March, and then the fear and anxiety level in this country took off, you know, exponentially. I think people just stopped, and you know, I think you're right on talking about how people neglected their cancer screening and, of course, their routine blood work. You know, I think a lot of pharmacies stepped up and started delivering medications, but a lot of people stopped going to pick up their medications. And you know, that's in the adult world. I think in the pediatric world, you know, well visit appointments, parents just stopped taking their children, newborns, and very young infants were not getting their routine vaccinations. You know, and we're not going to know the ramifications of what, you know, will be the outcome of this for a while, but we can expect that there will be an increase in malignancies 5 to 10 years down the road. There may be some increase in pediatric infections. So very concerning.
Yes, very, very well said. Dr. Galla is going to put a clinic on this half hour on don't delay medical care on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Galla, an expert in cardiology. Can you tell us, Dr. Galla, how COVID or other viruses affect the body? And we've been hearing things about COVID as this goes on. We're learning things well into this about organs and the heart, for example. What are some of the warning signs and risk factors?
Absolutely. So, you know, viruses are very, very abundant in nature. You know, we found several thousand, and scientists suspect that there are several million. They're incredibly small, and they're able to grow in the most severe of environments, whether it be very cold, very acidic, very hot. So the more they investigate, the more viruses we find. The good news is it looks like there's less than 300 that have been discovered so far that affect humans and that cause illness. There are probably others that do, you know, come in and affect humans, and they may cause harm. They may be some that work symbiotically and help humans. But when we talk about the common viruses that we see, things like the common cold, hepatitis, HIV, you know, these are very common viruses that we see and have to deal with. SARS-CoV-2, or the novel coronavirus, which causes the infection COVID-19, is definitely unlike any virus we have seen before. Typically, viral infections do not cause heart issues. You know, they can cause runny noses or common cold. Hepatitis causes, you know, hepatitis viruses cause hepatitis, and HIV causes, you know, AIDS and what we know about. When viruses do affect the heart, they typically cause a disease called pericarditis, which is inflammation of the sac that the heart sits in. Most of the time, overwhelmingly, most of the time, this is benign and doesn't cause issues. Occasionally, it can cause fluid to accumulate around the heart, which can be dangerous, and that needs to be monitored. Occasionally, viruses will cause inflammation of the heart muscle, and that's called myocarditis. Myocarditis is a much more serious condition. It can be mild and something that gets monitored. If it becomes severe, people can get very, very sick, meaning it's widespread, affects all the heart muscle. The heart can get very weak. People can develop congestive heart failure, very dangerous arrhythmias. They can even die. And that brings us to COVID-19. It seems like COVID has a high incidence of causing myocarditis. You know, we still don't have a ton of data on this, and part of that is because, you know, when patients are hospitalized with the virus, we tend to do less imaging studies. We want to minimize the risk exposure to the hospital, to staff in the hospital, so we're not doing the same amount of testing that we would do in somebody who has a different type of infection. You know, studies that have been done in Europe, studies using MRI and echocardiograms, we see that the myocarditis is common, and it does seem like it lasts at least a few months after you've even recovered from the viral infection.
Wow.
And another concern is that having the virus and recovering from the virus may put you at an increased risk down the road, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, of having more significant heart disease.
Sidebar. See, there you go. What we're not getting enough, and we talk about it on this program, we keep hearing that, oh, so many people are asymptomatic, so we really don't even know how many people have gotten it. And that's, I think, inarguably true. But we don't know down the road, even if someone was asymptomatic, who knows? This thing is sticky. It seems to be very persistent, and we're finding out different things about it. You're mentioning the potential heart issues from it. Even people that seem to resolve well and maybe didn't go through the hell that other people have gone through that either have eventually been able to come out of the hospital. You know, we see these stats, Dr. Galla, about that it's only killing 0.3. So not, what are we doing here? 99.7%. The sort of company line is that 99.7% are just honky-dory, doing great. But I can tell you, my own brother-in-law was in the hospital for nearly 2 weeks. He's still not right. It's tough to walk from one room to the other. Still has lung issues that they don't know if it's ever going to truly correct. So that, I think the stats on this are completely – the true stats are completely unknown. Because if you never went for treatment, we don't know you. And if you're just because you got out of the hospital or you recovered at home, you could have a series of problems now and into the future. So I think this is much more significant than this 0.3 fatality rate. Your thoughts about that comment?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the more common late onset diseases that we see is shingles or zoster. Ooh. If anybody has ever had it, you know just how painful it can be, and it can be debilitating. And what people may not know is if you had chicken pox in childhood, that virus never leaves your body. It stays dormant. And when you get older, it comes back and causes shingles. So people can have chickenpox when they're 3 years old and have shingles when they're 70, and that virus can stay in your body for, you know, 60, 70 years dormant. And, you know, we don't know enough about COVID-19 to know what it's going to do potentially down the road.
We haven't even gotten to your second question, and I'm so jazzed up talking to you, Dr. Galla. Let me just keep throwing stuff at you. How strong do you recommend flu vaccine because of COVID-19, even people maybe that never got it before? We're big booster on this program. I usually get mine right on the air live while I'm speaking just to show people you don't even feel it. And I just feel that unless someone's allergic to eggs or any of the stuff within it, that that's so important. And I think now more than ever with COVID-19, it's more important. So I want you to address if you think that that is correct, so that if I'm steering people the wrong way, I want to correct it with my expert, Dr. Galla, right here, right now. And do you strongly recommend, because I have to be honest with you, I had the chickenpox when I was a teenager. Pretty significant case. Now, I would say it wasn't the worst, but it was well more than mild. It was a bad case of it. And I've always thought about this the shingles thing and how painful it is, and some people have nerve damage and stuff. Do you strongly recommend and maybe you would recommend it even without COVID-19, but what are your thoughts about the flu vaccine and shingles vaccine?
So for this year and every year, I strongly recommend the influenza vaccination. Just like you said, the flu vaccine 100% saves lives and really reduces the infection rate in the country. If anyone's ever had a bad case of influenza, you know just how sick you can get, and we know, you know, from decades of data, just how many people die from the flu every year. So in this year, you know, it's probably even more important, as we're expecting a second wave or an increased case rate of COVID to start creeping up when the weather gets a little bit colder. We definitely don't want people also getting flu. You know, I think hospitals are going to be busy enough, and people are going to want to avoid being hospitalized unless necessary. And one thing you can do to help prevent that is getting the flu vaccine. The shingles vaccine, it's great. I encourage both my parents to get it. I think one of the issues with it is that it's not readily covered by every insurance provider, so you may have some out-of-pocket expenditure. But it works very well, helps prevent shingles. And again, for anyone who's ever had shingles, I think they would strongly advocate to get the vaccine, knowing just how painful and debilitating it can be.
Dr. Galla, in terms of warning signs and risk factors, then we'll get into some other things beyond just COVID-19. Would you like to address that?
Absolutely. So, you know, let me start with COVID.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
That's not a problem.
So, young, healthy folks, many people have no symptoms at all. You know, and we talk about the asymptomatic folks, children in particular. They're still able to shed the virus particles. They're still very contagious. So, you know, that's a good reason to help protect these individuals. Again, in younger folks, simply losing your taste of, your sense of taste and your sense of smell, and that tends to be transient, but that can be a subtle sign that you've had the infection or have the infection. Older patients or people that have some pre-existing conditions, they tend to get worse symptoms, including fevers, which can get very high, chills, shortness of breath, coughing spells, a sore throat. People get dizzy, feel very fatigued, lose their appetite, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and again, the same loss of taste and loss of smell. And then, of course, as the virus wreaks havoc and as people get sicker, they can get confused, very, very short of breath, even develop some numbness and tingling of the hands and feet.
Is this very vexing in your experience, Dr. Galla, because some people almost don't even feel like that, don't even know they've had it, Some people probably have had it and don't know they've had it. Other people, it absolutely just crushes them. Now, we've heard that the comorbidity factor, if you have maybe diabetes or obesity or some other things, and evidently African Americans are more predisposed, I've even heard and read. Is this unlike, I think you did say it in your opening monologue, this is unlike anything we've seen before, isn't it?
Absolutely, unlike anything. It's so incredibly contagious. And there are other contagious diseases, of course, you know, the horrific things that have, you know, spread throughout history, Ebola and, you know, the Spanish influenza. But, you know, this is right up there.
You see, like, the Florida Marlins, one person gets it, 17 get it. I mean, this thing is, as you say, it is highly contagious. You did somewhat address this, but I want to double down on it. When do you decide, because the whole point of today's show on DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Gala is don't delay medical care. But yet, with COVID-19, I'm sure some people maybe try to outthink the room, and they're thinking, well, if I go somewhere, I could get it there. I don't want to be in some room waiting, and then I'd rather just see how I do here. How do you know whether or not you should see a doctor or whether you can try to resolve at home yourself?
Sure. I mean, I think if we're talking about COVID symptoms, you know, if you have the loss of taste and smell, but you're otherwise doing okay, I think you can probably find a way to get yourself tested in due time. Mm-hmm. The more important thing is to avoid contact with other people, whether it be inside your house or outside your house, because you would be contagious. You certainly don't want to get somebody else sick with this virus. For other people, if you are starting to feel short of breath or have any of the other symptoms, you really should get yourself checked out. One of the scary things about the virus, or just about the past few months, is that so many people have been found dead in their house.
Yeah. And, is it true that basically in the beginning you're thinking like, this is not that bad. I can handle this. But it goes bad. It turns bad very quickly, it seems.
That's right. Very quickly. The breathing goes downhill very quickly. And if you couple that with people getting confused or severely fatigued, sometimes you then lose the ability or the energy to pick up the phone and call 911. If you live alone, that can be, you know, catastrophic.
Yeah. Dr. Gala, we have to step aside for just 2 minutes. It's the only break we take during your show, and I don't want to leave, but I have to. You're fascinating and so interesting. Dr. Gala, who's an expert in cardiology from DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, continues his program, Don't Delay Medical Care. We have a lot of other important content that we'll be sharing, and always a reminder, you can make an appointment by either dialing 609-893-1200, and then you'll be prompted. It's very early in the prompt for scheduling an appointment. Or the website is awesome, demanddebora.org, and you can navigate that easily. And there's a hyperlink right there in terms of getting the process going to schedule your appointment. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center presents a great guest. Dr. Gala continues our discussion in just 2 minutes.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM.
Rescue your retirement. GrowWealthSafely.com.
Set the first button on your car radio for South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We're back with Dr. Gala, and I'm looking at the clock. How did this happen? We needed more than 30 minutes today. What if someone, we've talked about what if someone is not sure if they should see the doctor, and Dr. Gala gave a great answer on that. What happens? Because I think this is a perfect sort of follow-up to that question. If you delay your medical treatment, I mean, it sounds like Captain Obvious here, Dr. Gala, but if you delay your medical treatment, you're hurting your chances, aren't you?
Absolutely. And again, if we're talking strictly about coronavirus symptoms, you know, I think when all the data is compiled, there's going to be a tremendous increase in deaths at home from this disease. People that had the symptoms either blew them off or were scared to get care and ended up passing away at home. I think earlier studies that were done from March and April suggested that there was 87,000 excess deaths at home over the first 2 months of the pandemic, which is a tremendous number. A lot of those are probably people that had heart attacks or strokes or something like that at home and, again, ignored their symptoms. So it doesn't matter if you have coronavirus symptoms or some other symptoms. I mean, if you are not feeling right, really, you owe it to yourself to get checked out. And just one other thing I wanted to touch base upon on that topic is that, you know, offices, hospitals, everybody was concerned and scared at the original, you know, onset of the pandemic. And one of the very nice, a nice progress that happened was the takeoff of telemedicine. A lot of offices shut down altogether, and we stepped up and we had video cameras set up, and you can see your practitioner over a video. And if you don't have that capability, if you don't have a smartphone or a smart device, you can do telemedicine appointments over the telephone. But sometimes you just need to talk to a trained professional about what's going on with your health.
That's a very good point. Telemedicine that I think some people didn't either understand or thought, I had to see my doctor because of the necessity that you couldn't do it any other way at one point during this pandemic and people being in quarantine and so on. Telemedicine is not only here, it's here to stay. And it's one of the, I don't want to say anything's positive about this novel coronavirus, COVID-19, COVID-19, the disease. But there are a handful of things. Telemedicine has changed forever now. I mean, it's regularly being used. Some people did a great job with it, but it was not nearly what we see happening now. Which brings me to sort of a related topic. For anyone out there that's, and again, the topic this half hour is don't delay your medical care. Well, we know why people were delaying their medical care. Number one, they had to because they were told their procedure was canceled or their screening was canceled and we're only dealing with the COVID-19 right now. And that was very significant with a lot of the medical profession. And so that was happening. Then even when things opened up again and you could go back, people, and I think it's not unreasonable, people were thinking, hey, I don't know if this is safe. So what are your thoughts relative to the safety of going to the hospital right now?
You know, things have changed quite a bit from what people might remember. I'll tell you what we have going on here. Our waiting room is set up in such a way that nobody is within probably nobody is within 10 feet of one another in the waiting area. We're only taking one patient back at a time. There's really no more than one person in a room at any given time, whether that's in the office or inside the hospital. We're no longer keeping more than one patient in a room together. Everybody's extremely vigilant about hand washing. You know, we're, of course, practicing social distancing. The amount of people in any given area, and that includes, you know, doctors, nurses, residents, fellows, et cetera, that's being limited. Of course, everybody has mandatory masking. Every common area, every room is being sterilized and cleaned, both in between visits as well as at the end of the day. Anything and everything that can be done to make sure it's safe. And to the best of my knowledge, we haven't had any infections from our office. It's been very safe, and I think we're seeing a lot of folks return to get the care they need.
Let's also highlight, and I know it's come out very loud and clear during your awesome presentation here this morning, Dr. Galla, and you're listening to Dr. Galla from DeBorah Heart and Lung Center, very distinguished cardiology specialist at DeBorah Heart and Lung Center. That's the name of the program. DeBorah Heart and Lung Center presents today our distinguished doctor, Dr. Galla. In terms of someone that's trying to weigh the scales and say, well, if I don't go, I can't get it there. I'm sure they're doing great precautions and everything that Dr. Gala said. I believe them. But if I don't go, I can't get it. But versus not getting the care that you need. So if people are sort of making decisions of staying away, I respect the fact that that's the whole point of today's topic is not to delay your medical care. There's no reason to do that at this point, is there?
There's no reason. There's no reason. If you're so anxious or concerned, set up a telemedicine appointment, just know that if you do want to come in person, every single possible precaution is being taken to ensure your safety. But honestly, it's also to ensure the safety of everyone here. We want to make sure our doctors, our nurses, our medical assistants, and everybody else in the hospital and in the office stay safe. So, between all the precautions we're taking and temperature checks and, the testing we have done here, I think we've done a great job, not just here, but across the country. I think everybody is getting used to this new normal.
You know, you raised the word anxious, and it's like almost telepathy or something here, mental telepathy, because a listener wrote in moments before you said anxious that how do we know the difference? I think that there's more anxiousness in America right now maybe than ever before with all that's going on. We've got so many perfect storms all at one time, weather, social stuff, the pandemic. I mean, it's a cornucopia of bad stuff all converging. And a listener wrote, could Dr. Gala address, because he is a cardiac expert, how do you know the difference between feeling anxious or if you're experiencing some kind of cardiac issue?
That can be very difficult. I think we see both quite often, where people feel very anxious and perhaps feel something in their chest and feel a little bit short of breath, and they end up having real cardiac pathology. And, of course, we see it where people have the exact same symptoms and they're having panic attacks or just having severe anxiety. And to be perfectly honest, it's something where you have to be assessed. You know, for me, when I see somebody, you have to take a very accurate and a very significant history from the patient to really discern their symptoms. And, of course, part of it is testing. I think cardiologists tend to order a lot of tests, and a lot of it is for these exact reasons, where we need to decide or figure out if somebody's symptoms are due to a real problem or whether it is something else. And I do agree with you 100% that mental health has really been a struggle the last 6 months, and I think it's not getting any better. I mean, the level of anxiety in this country is really at an all-time high, and I think along with that, depression is also rising, and people are going to have to pay attention to that,
And Dr. Gala, I know you have to run. Let me squeeze in because I think it'd be a nice opportunity for you to cap off a wonderful informative program with this. What are some heart healthy tips that you can share with your listeners?
So I have a couple of points here. First and foremost, I think one of the best ways to keep your heart healthy and in general, to just feel overall better about your mood and your health is to change your diet. A poor diet can promote heart disease. It promotes inflammation in the body. And one of the things I tell my patients is that most of the world, or most of the Western world at least, they start their meal planning thinking about a protein, and they plan the plate around that. I'm going to have chicken with X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to have a steak today with this, that, and the other. And they add sauces to augment the flavor. And try starting your meal plan with fruits and vegetables and perhaps grains. Say I'm going to have quinoa and a salad, and maybe I'll have a small piece of chicken with that. But I think if your plate has, 75-80% fruits, vegetables, and grains, which would make up the bulk of your diet, you're definitely going to feel better, have more energy, eat less calories, and overall be healthier. one of the fellows I train here has a good thing he tells patients, that the more legs something has, the worse off it is for you. Meaning fruits, vegetables, grains are very healthy. Fish are a little bit less healthy, but okay. And then poultry has two legs. And then, of course, we know all the other animals that have four legs that can be worse and cause disease and inflammation. The other thing I'd like to talk about is the American Heart Association has a great set of cardiovascular health principles that they promote. It's called Life's Simple Seven. And I'm a big fan of the Simple Seven because it doesn't require any money. It can be done across the world by anybody. And it's really one of those things that you wake up one day and say, hey, I'm motivated to get healthier. These are seven things you can do. Number one, stop smoking. Number two, eat better. Number three, get active. Number four, lose weight. Number five, manage your blood pressure. Number six, control your cholesterol. Number seven, reduce your blood sugar. And again, so much of this you can do on your own. If you do have issues with blood pressure and cholesterol and sugar, your primary care provider, cardiologist, can help you along the way.
What a great close. Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer in baseball history. You just equaled that, I think, with your closing summation. Dr. Gawa, thank you for your time and your expertise. I know you helped a lot of people today. Anybody out there that's been just waiting because you're just concerned about things and not looking into what you should be, what you would usually be doing. I know that you gave comfort to a lot of people today, Dr. Gawa. To make an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey, 609-893-1200, 609-893-1200, or on the web at demanddeborah.org. Dr. Gawa, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our time together.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, talking about this very important topic. Hopefully you don't ignore your health.
Thank you, sir. You did a great job.